Yeah, so a bit of an overview of this admittingly a bit ambiguous title, but it's specifically going to be talking about these glorious little devices, pages. But first, a little bit about me, so to add a bit of context to the rambling that I'm going to be doing. So I'm a software engineer by trade. I've been employed doing software all of my working life. I class myself as a long-term maker, sort of hardware hacking, electronics, that sort of thing, all of the things that we know and love at EMF. As of the last sort of 18 months, I'm also a radio amateur. Sort of took advantage of the not needing to be involved with the radio club to get the relevant licenses. So yeah, as it says, I'm an M0 now. Yes. So yes, pagers, a lovely bit of technology, which I am too young to have ever actually used when they were popular. So for the benefit of people like me in that sort of situation, they're essentially push notifications before the era of smartphones and so on. So there's a couple of sort of examples of pagers on there. Those are both relatively modern. Both of them are ones that can be used on the amateur on amateur paging networks. The one on the right is a recycled T-Mobile one, which would have seen commercial use at some point. They're both, as I say, they're both relatively modern. They can do numbers and text. Mainly text is what we're concerned about for announcing talk schedules. I'll address the question of why, which I feel probably nobody's asking, because of course the answer to why is always why not. It's a bit of fun. The schedule just seemed like a kind of a bit of fun way to use pages, really. So, technical stuff. So these pages, these use a protocol called POXAG, which is something that came out of, as I said there, the Post Office Code Standardization Advisory Group, a name befitting of being shortened. This was a standard that came around in the early 80s for how to actually communicate to devices like this over the air, with the intention that, standardization, being able to just use one thing for many devices. Over the air, it's essentially just FSK coding, which is just essentially binary encoding with two different frequencies offset from a carrier. I'll not go too much into details. Plenty of better explanations than I can probably give. So, DAPNet. So DAPNet is a paging network for radio amateur use. And whilst it's for radio amateur use, obviously there's no reason why you can't just have a pager and receive pages, for example, for the EMF schedule, because you're not actually putting anything to air. If you want to transmit a page, obviously you need the requisite licensing, but for receiving, you're fine. Paging. Since most of what you're doing is receiving, quite good for that. So DAPNet itself, yes, it's a essentially a orchestration and internet backhaul for paging transmitters. So you submit a request to an API. It says, yes, I will transmit this to whatever transmitters you wanted. And it will then send that out to the transmitters you requested. There's two main sort of ways that you can use it. You can send what they call calls. I don't know where the terminology calls comes from, but it seems a bit odd. But essentially, a page or a message to an individual, or you can send them to what they call rubrics, which are kind of, it's the best way to put it, I guess, groups for more specialized interests. So, for example, there's an EMF camp rubric, which is where all of the event schedule has been going. And that's what you would use for messages that you want to have multiple, they're intended for multiple recipients. So, in terms of transmitters, what can you do? So, just for trying it out and having a bit of a play, the MMDVM hotspot is a good option. They're relatively cheap, they're very available. If you've played with any digital voice modes, you might already have one. And in which case, DAPNet and POCSAG are just another checkbox that you can tick to enable this. And yeah, they're fine for playing around with it, sort of trying it out or personal use, so if you just want something that works at home. For something a bit bigger, there's the option of doing the sort of Pi plus radio, existing radio sort of transmitter. So the image there is, I think that's the Motorola GM1200. It's one that I stole off the DAPNet wiki. So yeah, this is just taking some software, in this case Unipager, which I'll talk more on later. And yeah, you take the sort of flat or unmodified, unfiltered input into the radio, put audio in there, and it will transmit that. And yeah, they're a very good option if you want something sort of wider range. So for example, what I have on the other side of the camp here. There's also the Raspager, which I believe is a project started by the same people behind DAPNet. So this is just a Pi add-on board. As it is, it's good for a personal hotspot, or you can put it into you can put it through a power amplifier, as per the photo on the right. Yeah, it's another option. I included it there because it's the third most popular on the according to DAPNet in terms of what people are actually using. So yeah, in terms of the hardware that I'm actually using for the transmitter that I have at EMF. It's essentially similar to the photo from two slides ago. It's a Motorola GM900, Raspberry Pi, and what I've been accused of designing a very over-engineered case. So yeah, you can see it there. There's also a couple of, you can maybe just make out the blue PCB, also has a few relays on for things like turning the power off, which is a licensing condition. You have to comply with, you have to be able to turn it off if something goes wrong. And there it is, installed in the tent. It doesn't look like that now because the high winds might have had an interaction with the mast, so it's on its lowest sort of height now, although it seems to still reach most parts of the site fine, so yeah. So yeah, I now have many slides on software, because as I said, I am a software person, so that side of things is very, very over-engineered. So the most important piece of software is DAPNet. This is the thing that connects, it bridges the radio with the paging network. So yeah, Unipager is some software written by the people behind DAPNet. It's you can just take it and run it on a Raspberry Pi. I do have to maintain a fork of it because of, so the way the, if you're just running Raspbian on the Pi, it's fine. If you want to run something a little more resilient that doesn't mind power being yanked out from the Pi, such as Alpine Linux, it's a bit more of a pain, which is why I have to maintain a fork of it, but yeah. Yeah, there is also a sort of version 1, version 2 sort of divergence in DAPNet as well. There's the idea to replace the backhaul with this version 2 of the network. But that makes it difficult because version 1 is what's currently deployed. If you take the current version of the software and try and use it on version 1, it doesn't work out. Yeah, it's not worth the rambling to go into that, I don't think. More software. So yes, remote close down, the matrix remote close down are a couple of things I wrote. These are purely license compliance things. They allow me to enable and disable the power to the radio remotely. And it also serves as quite a handy notification if if there's any power or networking issues on the actual transmitter side, which has been quite handy. It's notified me a couple of times of there being something weird happening with the power distribution. Yeah, it's quite handy. It just presents itself as a matrix chatbot, so I get notifications right through the phone. MQTT Actor and MQTT Rubik Publisher, again, two fairly small things I wrote. So this is what does the queuing of the actual... So MQTT Actor is what I use to queue up the messages to be sent at specific times. It's a fairly simple thing. You just have timestamp message, and that's about it. It's all you need. MQTT Rubik Publisher, that takes those messages and sends them as Rubik content on DAPNet. Config generator is a very purpose-specific thing I wrote, which takes the EMF schedule API and creates content to go into MQTT Actor. In hindsight, this was not the best way of doing things because whenever the schedule changes, it's then a manual sort of process to rerun all these scripts and redeploy configuration. So if anybody's actually been looking at the event schedule as per POXAG, if it's been wrong, this is why it's been wrong. I do try and keep it up to date every day, but for some reason I thought the schedule wouldn't be as fluid as it has been. I think in the description I did say it would be this talk would be a mix of things that worked and things that didn't. Everything I've said now has been the things that have worked. Now we get onto the things that haven't. So I did sort of loosely promise a firmware for these TTGO / T-Beam LoRa boards, because these have a RF chip on them that has inbuilt FSK decoding. So in theory, it should be fairly easy to get those to decode POXAG. They also have an OLED display. On the back of them, they have an 18650 battery holder. It would be quite an ideal thing to use as a very low-cost pager, which is quite a bit more low-cost than these, which are, I think the AlphaPoc is probably one of the cheaper pages, and even then that's about £50 or something, compared to this, which is about maybe 30, 35 or something, or cheaper if you get the SANS GPS one. But yeah, I essentially ran out of time to do this. They seem very particular about getting the center frequency and the deviation correct, which didn't immediately work, and I just didn't have time to go into it any further. I do want to make that work, though, so eventually, hopefully, I'll get that done. I think that is all I had. So I'll finish on this slide, which is, so the top one is a link to the GitHub repository, which has all of the things related to the paging transmitter deployed at EMF, and links to all of the other obscure little pieces of software I had to write along the way to make it work. If anybody wants to get in touch or has questions, you can do so via the second link, which is my website. Although I realize I finished in about half the time that I said I would need, so I guess there's no issue with me taking questions if anybody has any immediately.
I've got a question myself, actually. Are pagers still used nowadays commercially in context?
They are in some cases. It's... I can't think of examples off the top of my head where I know certainly that they're still used, but yes, I get the impression that they are.
Are they still used in hospitals? That was one of the big cases before. Or have they been replaced there now?
Yeah, I believe they are. Mm-hmm. I'm not certain exactly the specifics of where they're used. I gather the NHS might still be somebody...
Okay, cool.
organisation that uses them.
Does anyone else have any questions? Oh, so what, Lucy, do you want to throw the microphone over? Oh.
Hi. Yeah, what frequency is it transmitting on this particular EMF?
So the one at EMF, this uses 439.9875 megahertz. So that's a so that's kind of a standard frequency for DAPNet. There is on the DAPNet wiki a list of the frequencies used per country. It's typically that a country will countries will sort of settle on a standard frequency. For most of Europe and the UK, it's in the 77s band and 439.9875. Some countries use a frequency in the 2 meter band. But yeah, I think most countries that have DAPNet transmitters use 77s.
So, if you buy old pages, you know, on eBay or whatever, are they using the
So, could you repeat that? Was it one you invoked, one you already have?
Yeah,
I think it, yeah, I guess the shortest answer is it depends. So some, again, on the DAPNet wiki, there's a list of the various pages that are known to work well. There are some that can be easily modified. So I think some of them, some of the Skype pages, for example, I think you can do a crystal swap to change the band that they work on. I've never done any of that myself. I've just used, the only things I've ever used with POCSAC are the Alpha POC, which is on the right band and you can change the frequency anyway, and SDRs. I've never had to do a hardware mod to a pager, but there's a community out there for people that have, so it's worth, if you've got the model number of the pager, just have a look on the DAPNet wiki and see what they say.
I think there was a question at the back. Oh, same question. Okay, that's easy. Any other questions? No? Okay, if anyone else has any questions, do feel free to ask later. Otherwise, thank you very much, Dan, for explaining pages to us.